Welcome to another edition of Teaching Restored, where we are your weekly teacher council meeting, and we get to talk about how to be better teachers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm Kevin Jones.
And I'm Julie Hilliard. And I have to start with an experience that will kind of set up today's topic for today, if that's okay.
Okay, sounds good.
So, it's not going to feel like it's super connected, but I'm going to make it connected in a minute. So I think I've mentioned that I have a new calling, and my new calling is part of the Communications Council. So one of the things that's been really heavy on my mind is how to connect with people of different faiths and different beliefs, but to really create unity around our mutual belief in Jesus Christ with other members of our community. And it's been really interesting because I'm kind of, you know how when you have something like that, you view things through a slightly different lens? Mm-hmm. So I went the other day to our ward harvest party. And as I'm pulling up, I have my son with me, Matt, the one who has special needs. And we get out of the car and it's kind of circus Vargas every time I take Matt somewhere, especially somewhere where he doesn't really know what's going on. It can be a little chaotic. And I have had it in my life for 16 years and it still sometimes causes me a little bit of stress and anxiety because you never really know what's going to happen and what his mood's going to be like. And so we get to the church and we're out front and there's a family there that looks so cute. They have a special needs son as well. And he comes up to me and it's the best feeling in the world. He's like, my favorite. And he comes and he throws his arms around me. But then my Matt's mad because he's giving me attention and my attention's diverted to him. And then he's like, mom, come over here. It's my favorite. And like, I just adore this kid. And then he wanted a picture with his mom. So I'm trying to like take this photo and Matt's screaming and he's getting mad and blah, all this chaos erupts. And this family walks up and I'm like, he kind of looks familiar. And so I'm like, I know him. And I just swept him into the conversation. It turns out he knows Matt. And so I'm like, how do I know you? And he said, well, I've worked in Matt's classroom before. And I'm like, oh, that's amazing. I was so excited to reconnect with him. And he was so sweet with Matt and kind of distracted him. And he and his girlfriend and his girlfriend's son were with them. And I didn't realize, but they had, I think, maybe seen somebody post about, hey, we've got this harvest party. Friends are welcome. And they're like, oh, cool. A Halloween thing for the kid. Let's go. But I didn't really realize that. I figured that they were there to meet someone. And so we go in and I'm just treating him like he's just my best friend. And, you know, I'm like, so, you know, are you guys meeting someone? Are you looking for someone? And he's like, no. And I'm like, oh, okay. I just was kind of taken a little bit off guard. And then we get there and I'm talking to all these different people and I'm trying to keep Matt from the food because Matt was, you know, I wanted his clothes to stay clean because he was supposed to go to homecoming after this. Mm. And so it was just a zoo, but I kept touching base with him. And I'm like, finally, he just asks me, and I'm introducing all these people to him and trying to help him feel included. Finally, he's like, so do you know what the plan is? And I'm like, oh, he really doesn't even know what's going on. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, oh, of course. And I described it to him. And then right then, you know, somebody made an announcement that helped us to kind of understand the rest of the plan. And I walked away from that because I had to leave early. So I'm like, who's going to take care of him and who's going to make him feel welcome? So I kind of tried to introduce him to as many people as I could. And I walked away from that and I'm like, huh, what could we as a ward have done better? If we invite people not of our faith and we say visitors welcome on the outside of our church and all of these different things, what do we need to be doing better to make sure that no, visitors are actually welcome and we want to invite friends? Well, friends, we're anticipating friends coming. And if we're anticipating, not just inviting, we behave differently. We plan our events differently. We do all sorts of things differently. So then I started thinking about the classes that we teach at church specifically, do we anticipate people not of our faith being there? Do we anticipate people who, like, I want to actually talk about, actually, I'm going to ask a question. Who are some of the people that might be in the room that we aren't anticipating.
So when you're talking about when we're teaching.
When we're teaching,
yes.
You are standing up in front of the room.
Yeah.
What you automatically think is that you're talking to like-minded people.
Yeah, you're thinking, you're assuming you're teaching and talking to members of the church who typically have been around for a while like you have and know the gospel pretty well.
Yes.
A lot of times.
So tell me, who are some of the people that we are not typically anticipating that might be in that space?
Someone who just walked off the street. Someone who came in for the first time to see what is this church all about and what do they believe?
Right, right. And you might actually recognize that, right? Mm-hmm. You might be like, oh, new face. There we go. And then are you having to do a little bit of a reframe? Like, do you find yourself going, oh, I got to rethink my whole lesson when that happens?
I do. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what else? Who else might be in that space?
Maybe someone from the stake.
Okay. Do you find yourself thinking, I might need to reframe my lesson a little bit?
Need to change it. Right. Maybe I should put a little bit more into this. Maybe I should prepare it a little bit more. Maybe I should ask more questions and yeah.
Right?
Okay.
Maybe. Uh-huh. Maybe. Who else?
Mm-hmm. A general authority even.
Ooh, yeah.
That's another level of that same thing though, right?
I can't go there.
Okay. Anyways. Someone who you assume everyone is in a good headspace and they are there because they want to feel the spirit. There may be people there who are one step away from disaster and they know it and they're having the most difficult issues in their life, but they don't show it.
So you might have people who are in a really difficult place with a trial that they're going through, or you might have people who are in a really difficult place spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Okay. Any others you can think of?
E.T.
Yeah. What? You're the biggest dork ever. Okay. So,
you never know. I mean.
Oh my gosh. Okay, that was unexpected. Why is that so funny to me? Okay. Thank you, Kevin, for your contributions.
You're welcome.
I appreciate all of your
answers. I'm here for.
Okay. So let me tell you some other ones that I've had. Okay. So I've had people not of our faith come in and I actually didn't know. So in the class that I taught for the stake, I would have mm-hmm. people come in and I assumed that they were members of the church that weren't, but I assumed that they were just because I didn't always recognize all of the people and they would sometimes walk in after I was already talking. And so in my mind, I'm sometimes actually asking questions to try and get them to drop a hint as to whether or not they're a member of the church. And I'm like, oh, I don't know. But the thing is, I think, what would I change? That's the thought that I'm thinking of. So I also had someone in my class who was wanting to be baptized, but was not baptized because he was married and his husband had been a member of the church before. So he was in a homosexual relationship. Mm-hmm. And so how would you change your lesson if you knew that there was somebody... Mm-hmm. Who was struggling with gender dysphoria or who had a different sexual orientation or who had, do you know the political beliefs of the people that are in your class? Do you think that you have both liberals and conservatives in the same space? Or do you assume that just because you are Christian and share a belief in Jesus Christ, that everyone is, of course, going to err on the side of conservative?
Right.
And do you then maybe... sometimes offhandedly even mm-hmm. make political comments or jokes under that assumption.
Right.
Right.
Very
so
good.
So the reason that I'm bringing this up is because I think that we need to plan a little bit differently. And when I say that, I think that we need to anticipate all of that in our space. I think that if And this could be a really sensitive thing that I'm going to say, because I think that there's a fine line between teaching true doctrine with clarity, and it's super important that we do that, and then employing appropriate filters in the way that we present it. And so I'm not suggesting in any way that we wuss out in terms of being direct in our teaching. Like one of the things that I've thought about recently because of some studying that I've been doing is the fact that a lot of people who go to divinity school, for example, when they're going through their training, one of the things that they struggle with is how to communicate the messages that they need to communicate without putting people off, because mm-hmm. their ability to make a living has to do with their congregation's attendance. Like they are supported by that, right?
Right.
And so they're treading this line between offending people and teaching truth, and kind of probably erring more sometimes on the side of trying to not offend people than to teach truth with clarity. And we have guidance from prophets and apostles that talk about the importance of teaching true doctrine and not shying away from doing that. So how do we balance the two?
Mm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Let me add one more thing in there. And maybe you're not going to go into this at all, but what happens when someone answers a question and they maybe cross the line as well? Right. I mean, it's not you saying it, but it's them saying it. And how do you handle that as well?
And I do want to discuss that. I really, really do, because I've had that happen before.
Yeah, me too.
And so let's talk about how to handle that as well. Okay.
How do you balance that line?
That's part of it, is where is the line even?
Yeah. For me, I try to really focus on the doctrine and then ask, how are the doctrines and the principles we learned applicable? And then have them come up with scenarios. And then this gets into the other thing at the same time. So I almost avoid it by just sticking to the doctrine. Mm-hmm. And then as they say things, then they may say something that may be over the line. And then, but then I bring up an alternative point that kind of breaks what they said in a different context. So, you know, well, you could just say, you know, if someone just answers, and if someone answers, well, you could just say this right here. I'm just going to, you know, this is the way it is. And I'm saying, yeah, but would you approach that? Would you say that to someone who is dealing with this? Well, no. Mm-hmm. Well, then how would you do that? Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. it kind of makes them take it back in a way, but try to walk that line themselves.
I think that might be a little bit abstract. So help me make that.
It is.
So let me actually give an example.
Okay.
So please. I have this friend who, you know, is in a homosexual relationship, and he's sitting in this class.
Okay.
Okay. So what is a principle that you might feel to like tread lightly with? Let's talk about marriage between a man and a woman.
Correct.
Like that is a principle. So you're in your mind, you've got alarms going off if you mm-hmm. know that this person is sitting in your classroom. But what you also haven't considered is how many people might be sitting in that classroom who have a child who is, and I actually wouldn't even say struggling with feelings of same-sex attraction. I wouldn't even say that, because why mm-hmm. can that be hurtful?
Well, that's obviously that. Okay, we're going to call out they're wrong, period. You know, they're evil for doing that. Yeah.
Right. When you say struggling with, because mm-hmm. your view has to do with this label that
you just put on them.
This gospel principle has taught us.
Mm-hmm.
But understanding, like, this is part of what such a struggle is, that if you have not walked a mile in someone's shoes who has same-sex attraction or experienced it with them, meaning that they're having this, you know, feeling. They themselves would not call it a struggle. They themselves would call it part of their identity.
Sure.
Like yeah. who they are. And so even saying that you're, you know, like it's putting a label. Do you see what I'm saying? Like
mm-hmm.
it's
yes.
this sensitivity. And so do you not talk about like, what do you do?
Or, okay, let me give you another example of that. You're teaching youth. You know that there is one youth in there that is struggling with the word of wisdom, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
Do you not bring up the word of wisdom? Do you not, the lessons about the word of wisdom, do you not bring that up?
Mm-hmm.
Do you not say, you know what, you really ought not to be doing this, and you know you're making them feel guilty because maybe they have the habit and maybe they don't want it, or maybe they feel that it's just fine. Maybe right. I can vape all I want. I'm just fine with that, or you know, whatever right. it may be.
Right.
Right. So you talk about it? Right. I think or you whatever, should just skip it.
Just skip that chapter.
Yeah,
just skip
yeah, that yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so what I'm talking about though is pretty real. Like
it is very real.
Having a filter is really important, but what I'm suggesting is less about having like not, I actually am in no way suggesting you avoid those topics. What I'm suggesting is some of the awarenesses that we need to have as teachers when teaching. And I'm not actually going to say those topics even, because I don't think that there is any topic that would not be one of those topics.
Yeah, good point.
Because if you are going in and talking about, you know, a chapter in the Book of Mormon, and you're talking about like, you know, we're studying in Mormon right now, the small B Book of Mormon, right? Mm-hmm. And Mormon is talking, or there's at the beginning of that, you've got Mormon who is asked to stay in a hard, hard situation, right? For a purpose. And let's say that somebody right then, you're going to talk about, you're going to apply this to real life, and you're going to talk about staying in hard situations, and someone's in an abusive marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so all of a sudden that person mm-hmm. is either shutting down or has alarms going off or is becoming emotional or whatever. And you don't have any idea about that. So how can you be sensitive to it if you don't have any idea about it?
Right. Right.
So like, do you have any thoughts? I kind of want you to engage in the problem just a little bit more, and then let's start talking a little bit about what we do.
I have never actually thought about what to do. I've just kind of done it on the spot. When I've noticed that I've been, oh, someone may have be dealing with this and I know about it, or maybe I recognize that, oh, this may be a thing for someone that mm-hmm. is here that I don't know about. We need to tread carefully about that. I kind of just do it in the moment, but I've actually never really thought about strategies or things that you can do, mm-hmm. be thinking about beforehand. I think this right. is a great topic. I like this.
Well, it's kind of a little bit of a scary one, because I don't know that I have like a list of answers and principles. And part of what I'm suggesting is that even an awareness of yeah. it is
okay.
part of what we need to go in with. I have some suggestions, but part of what I'm suggesting is an awareness. And I think that part of this stems from my role as a learner sometimes, and part of it stems from my role as a teacher. So I'll give you an example. When I was sitting in a Relief Society class once, and I was really struggling with how kind of insensitive some of the cliche answers to things can feel.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a very kind of cliche lesson that day where they were trying to get people to participate, but all of it was just very surface level answers, very surface level comments. And I'm like, freaking make it real. And that was my wrestle. And I was just really in this hard, hard headspace that day. And so I've been there as a learner where there have been things that have shut me down. Mm-hmm. I've also been in the position of being a teacher, and I remember a comment being made, and there was something I was completely unaware of going on with a member of my class who came up to me afterwards and talked about how offensive this comment was. But, and this isn't to toot my horn, but also talked about how I helped make it feel better because of the way that I responded. So I didn't even know that I was doing something right, but I'm conscious now of what I did so that we can talk about things that might help. So part of what I'm trying to say is that it's not just going in and having those awarenesses about the things that you know about and being like, oh, yes, I know so-and-so. Oh, yes, I know. Because that can feel a little bit overwhelming. But it's how can I teach in a way that would be, that is sensitive even to the things that I'm unaware of. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Okay. So yes. Let me kind of, I'll just share a couple of thoughts and maybe you can help to build off of this. Okay. So one of the things that has happened before, you said specifically, you know, what do you do when somebody else makes a comment that might be a little bit offensive? I think that most of us as teachers are cautious enough to not be overtly offensive, hopefully, in the things that we're saying. But I would actually add an extra word of caution that making assumptions about people's political beliefs is one place where we can get in over our heads and we can actually cause problems. And so we have to be really, really careful that we're not making assumptions about people's political beliefs or even overlaying gospel principles into politics. Right. That is probably a no-no. So I would be really, really cautious that your jokes aren't in any way. Can you say amen to that? Like, don't you agree?
100%. And I see it too often, actually. You see it come up. And honestly, it's typically by people who don't care and they're just like, this is the way it is, period. Right? Rather than someone actually making a mistake and saying it. It's usually by people who are actually almost meant to be offensive in a way.
Right. Well, so yes, and I actually have experienced it the other way as well. Like there was this really amazing, amazing guy that is so thoughtful and so kind and so wonderful that brought up a current event and shared his opinion or perspective about this current event. But other people in the class had a very different opinion about this current event. And so his political beliefs
came through,
were really communicated in how he talked about this political event. And so as a teacher, that's one example of a time when I had to say, hey, we have to be so cautious that our personal opinions don't get confused with the doctrine that we're trying to teach, and kind of call him on the fact or label it as his personal opinion, and not saying, well, we're all entitled to our opinions. That's not at all the snark. I didn't come up with a snarky response like that in any way, but rather I just attempted to add a caution and labeled it for what it was. And then I actually called the guy later and just said, hey, let's chat about that. And he said, oh my gosh, I'm so glad that you called me out on it, because I didn't even realize that I was going in a direction that could cause some sensitivity. So he really appreciated it. I really did it with kindness. And I think that it's very possible for us to do that with kindness.
Yeah.
I had another experience where an older person made a comment about, you know, had something to do with the LGBTQAI plus community. And in the comment, the way he said it, it was similar to what I said a little bit earlier, where he said something like they're struggling with same-sex attraction, but he really was, in his, the way that he was presenting it, making this assumption about, or making a comment about, like, actually, I mean, calling something a trial that someone might not consider a trial. He was putting a label onto something. And I remember having the Spirit tell me, no, that's not the right way to look at it. And I was a little bit surprised by that kind of instruction. And so I took a step back and I'm like, okay, I need to stop you for just a second. I want to be so cautious about how we discuss this topic that might potentially be sensitive, so that in no way does anything but love come across? Oh, I know what it was. It was saying, putting like a label on a group of people as though they were the other people.
Ah, gotcha.
Does that make sense? It yes. may not have even been that specific.
The others.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the others. Basically, Othering it people. May not have even been that scenario that I was talking about. But it was, and I used the term otherizing, where yes. when you basically are creating division between you and someone else by putting you at odds by the way that you describe it, instead of we're all brothers and sisters and talking about things in a unifying way. And so that actually is one of the principles that I was going to suggest, is that in our teaching, we need to talk about everyone as in a unifying way versus an otherizing way. It's always we, it's always me, it's I, it's like you saying they in a comment, mm-hmm. or mm-hmm. you saying they as though it's someone on the someone. Outside of you versus internalizing. It's like they, it puts them on the outside. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Yes.
And so, you know, as people in your class are participating and making comments, it's appropriate to hold them accountable for not saying they. Mm-hmm. So you can say, okay, pause. You're saying they. What about we? And reframing the comment to be inclusive. And then also people think about their comments differently if they are personalizing the comment. And if they, like you're talking about sinners, well, guess what? Include yourself instead of those people over there who are, you know, doing this sin. You know, they mm-hmm. have need to, I really wish that they could understand da 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 da. No. I wish that I could understand even better this principle. Does that make sense?
So, yeah. So I think what I'm learning from you is that it's, we need to go, at least this is what I'm learning, is that when we go into teach, we need to make sure that the words that we say and the phraseology that we use is very unifying, right?
That's the word. That's right, the right.
It and not pitting people against each other and calling out saying, I mean, for example, you could say the Philistines, they did this bad thing, right? But then when we relate it back to us, like you said, we could all be that sinner. We could all be that people that we say they. So we don't really want to put a division between us, who we assume is right and correct and righteous, and everyone else who would be lumped into the other category, which there may be some people there who would lump themselves into that category. And you've just told them that they are complete sinners and they need to do something. You know, you are not part of us anymore.
Yes.
You are they.
Yes. And you nailed it when you said, I think that part of it is that we look at our lessons and we make sure that the way that we're teaching it, the way that we're presenting it is unifying. That we are not in any way putting someone on the outside of what it is mm-hmm. that we're teaching. That rather we are trying to expand the stakes of the tent of Zion and bring all people, gathering everybody into that tent and creating safety and creating protection for everyone. Because yes. just because they're you know, tender spots and their holy of holies isn't obvious to you in that moment. If you aren't inviting them in by the way that you frame your lesson, then I would say that we might need a reframe, because anything that our Heavenly Father does is going to fall under that unifying umbrella. Like yeah. He even calls people to repentance in a way that brings them closer, not in a way that pushes them out.
Right. So I think I have a new view of looking at this from what you say now. there are things that we could point out that are evil, that are wrong, that we do, that are sins, that are we could, you know, otherize people with. Of course, we don't want to do that. But we could actually teach a lesson where there is no otherizing, where we don't have to. It's not our job to call out sin all the time. Right? Mm-hmm. I mean, probably never. Right. I hate to say that, but because there are things that we want to say, the Lord has said that we should not be doing this.
Yeah.
Right. And kind of in a way, we have to be able to say that without saying you are bad and you are wrong if you are doing this. And this is just, you know, you're going to hell for this kind of thing. It's right. By the way, we all struggle. So instead, we could just, instead of making it, drawing divisions around that, make sure that the language that we use and how we phrase things and talk about things, it's just unifying. Yeah. If they're doing something that they know is wrong, they already know it. And right. If they're not doing something that is, if they're doing something that they don't know is wrong, but they're still doing it, it's not our job to point it out.
No, the Spirit will motivate them.
The Spirit will do that, right? It's not us for us to point that out. So we focus on the unifying. Let the Spirit do the pointing out.
Mm-hmm. Well said. And I do think that part of like I also want to make clear that I'm not suggesting that we water down the gospel,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not suggesting that we in any way avoid talking about things because we're afraid of being insensitive. Instead, I'm actually even suggesting that maybe part of what we do is we wrestle together. Like that Good. Instead of avoiding it, you bring your discomfort and say, look, I don't know how to do this, how to present this topic in a way that is really unifying. I'm worried that I might, because of my lack of awareness or just because of my humanness, slip and say something that could in some way offend. And so I don't want to not say anything. I want us to talk about it in a way that brings us closer to each other and wrestle through that discomfort together. Like, there's nothing wrong with that. I actually think that can lead to a really beautiful experience.
Yes.
The point is that the way that we frame our lessons, we are inviting people to come closer, to join in, to be part of, and that we aren't in any way doing something that puts them on the outside of the tent, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And we're capable of that. We don't have to walk on eggshells to do that. No. I think in large part, that is just us praying to see things a little bit differently. And as we look through our lessons and think about our plans and think about the questions that are being asked, make sure that we're creating an environment that's unifying, that we're creating a discussion that's unifying. But then when people take it in a different direction, pray that the Spirit will help you to have the words to respond to them in a way that even keeps them in. Mm-hmm. Like when you call someone on that, like you have to do it in a way that makes them want to stay.
Right. That you're not pushing them out in an effort to bring other people in.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's hard to do, but I know that we can, like, this is where we talk about the Holy Ghost being our guide. This is that work at its finest. You know, I remember reading this quote the other day that I'd written down a long time ago, talking about, you know, if the role of the Holy Ghost is to be the comforter, then it must mean that God intends us to have some discomfort. Otherwise, he wouldn't have given him that job.
Mm.
So that, I think, is part of where we can say, you know, part of our job as teachers is not to avoid discomfort, but rather to invite the Spirit to comfort us in hard spaces and in hard conversations. And I don't know. Is that resonating?
Yeah, I like how you mentioned that it's okay for us to bring up that, hey, I'm going to have a hard time doing this and not, I'm going to do my best not to be offensive in some way. And it's hard not to talk about this subject, honestly, overall and not be offensive, but I want to do it in a way that is unifying and just spell it out. Because what you have done in a way is bring up the discomfort.
Yeah.
To allow the spirit, and everyone knows, I mean, they're not looking at it from this perspective, but what you're doing is pointing out the discomfort so that the spirit can bring in the comfort.
Yes.
And that's what we're trying to get to. Let's let the spirit work on us to do that. But by pointing it out, you're focused on a goal as you speak about whatever topic it may be.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
That's good.
Exactly.
Yeah, I've been watching some videos from a guy. I wish I could remember his name. I've seen so many of his videos now and little clips of he's a negotiator, like mm-hmm. a hostage negotiator. And okay. he's really good. And he says when he goes to like an airport mm-hmm. and he goes up to the lady at the counter or the guy at the counter, he doesn't say, "How you doing?" He looks at them and makes an assumption of how he thinks that they are and then comments on that and just brings it up. And that actually makes a connection between them. He'll walk up and go, "It's been a tough day, huh?" Because he can see the look on her face of, "Oh my goodness, you know, this is okay. Next person, huh? Trying to be happy. Busy day, huh?" Yeah, it is. And that instantly creates a connection because you just call it out. The other fluff stuff of how you doing? Great. How are you? That's all a lie, honestly.
Right.
A lot of time. And if we translate that into teaching, we're calling it out. We're just saying, okay, this is going to be a difficult topic.
Yeah.
Let's acknowledge this. And then what that does is it connects you with everyone in the class and each other in the class, mm-hmm. you know, and not just a spoke where you're in the middle, but it connects everyone to everyone saying, okay, we're going to go through this journey together and experience this together. And let's talk about this in a way that is very unifying, even though it may be difficult. Let's figure out the way to do this.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I love that.
And it's hard to do. Let me make sure that I got through. I did. I think the only thing that I would add is that when you do offend someone, apologize.
Yeah.
Like when you can tell that someone bristles or you like, you know, I have seen someone walk out of my class before. And like I actually had an experience with a girl. I think I may have brought this up before. Who I really offended by how I phrased something, and she walked out, and I pulled her back in to talk afterwards. And really, she was able to explain to me why that had been so hurtful. And it was really instructive to me, actually. I was really grateful for the experience. I actually don't think I handled it wrong. I think that sometimes, like, you can't avoid offending people because people are sometimes looking to be offended.
Right.
And that's not on you. Like, you don't own that. You are not accountable for other people's feelings, but you are responsible for being sensitive.
You're good.
Right. And so I do think that that's something that we need to be aware of. And mm-hmm. that division between what you're accountable and what you're responsible for goes back to our last episode, right?
Yes.
And the idea that you are not accountable for other people's feelings can actually be freeing when you have hurt somebody or, you know, when somebody's angry or upset with something that was said at church. I mean, people leave the church because they're offended, but it doesn't necessarily mean that someone was offensive in all honesty.
True.
Right?
That is true. Right.
And so in some cases, I'm not letting people off the hook for being insensitive. I'm not trying to in any way minimize that. What I am trying to make the point of is that you also have to realize that you can't control other people's responses to you, but you mm-hmm. can control how sensitive you are to the varying needs and the amount of diversity that there is in any given class.
That's good. And
plan accordingly.
I remember being, it must have been like the week before General Conference. We were traveling. We went to church somewhere else. The person who was conducting sacrament meeting got up and he said, "Next week is General Conference." And then he went on to explain what General Conference was.
Yeah.
And my mind just kind of exploded right there. I was like, we all know, but you're saying for this to the people who may not know.
Right.
Oh, even though, and everyone else who knows is okay listening to it. Yeah. So now when I get up and I conduct sacrament meeting, the first thing I pretty much say is, welcome to the Mount Norway Ward for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. As if everyone doesn't know what church they belong to, right? But there are some people there for the first time that if I just said, welcome to the Mount Norway Ward, they'd be like, I thought this was the Mormon church, the church, you know, the Mount, what the heck? What is that?
Mount Norway Ward.
Yeah. Yeah. And if we have a primary program, I explain what the primary program is. Mm-hmm. If we have something else, I explain what that is every time. Because I know that there are people out there who don't understand, like your friend at the very beginning story, yep. Right? He didn't know what was going on or how it worked. Well, let's explain every time if we need to, how it works so that we can help them be unified with us.
That was actually the other point that I wanted to make that I totally forgot to make. And that is like, just because you're among people that might understand lingo, don't use lingo. Yeah. Like, see if you can pull some of that out. There's a recent convert that was in one of my classes, and she and a friend of hers are trying to put together a book of lingo from the church for new converts.
That's so because great. Like,
what's the MTC? What are all these acronyms? Like, yeah. What's the DNC? What's the, you know, like all of these acronyms that we use or all of this lingo that we use, like we really need to pull some of that out. Like as a teacher, be responsible for not using lingo even amongst believers. And then I contrast that though with, you know, this, like Liam was working on some essays the other day and he was trying to, because he's so often talking to people who aren't of our faith, that he almost pulled all gospel language out of one of these essays he was writing. And I'm like, Liam, you can say the word covenant in here. And he's like, oh,
you're right.
Right. And so don't be afraid to use gospel language, but there's a difference between gospel language and lingo. Oh, does that make sense?
Maybe we need to have a whole new episode just on language versus lingo.
It's a good one. It's a good idea. I'll jot it down.
Jot that one down.
Yes. Yeah. So that's kind of what I have for
today.
That's
great. Thank you. Yeah. You know what? This is a great reminder for me when I'm teaching to go into it, looking at it from this perspective to make sure that it's more of a unifying thing that, again, I don't need to call out anyone or just be sensitive of what people's experiences are or what their knowledge is or and what it isn't. Mm-hmm. And just make sure that we all are on the same page as we go forward and learn about the gospel. That's so good.
And I actually, if I could highlight one of the things, like we're talking about being unifying and bringing it in, be careful of your they phrases.
Good.
Be careful of they language. It's we.
We.
That's, thank you. I would say that's the number one, just kind of back of your mind, back pocket skill, not they, we.
Good. Perfect. Perfect way to wrap up. Thank you, Julie. Thank you, everyone, for listening. If you would, share, like, subscribe, and comment. The more comments, if you just say, I love this. This is so helpful for me just to remember, or I had never thought of that before, or maybe ask a question. We love those, and it helps the Google algorithms or whatever they are out there to share it with other people who may be looking for help on how to be a better teacher as well. Thank you very much, everyone, for listening. Until next time. Bye.
Bye.